Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Ali, and welcome to episode 47 of The Vampire Squid. Today, I have on a special guest, Valerie Wong, who is the president of Latinos in Finance and also an employee at MSCI. And with Valerie, we talk about two important subjects, and the first one being international and working in the United States and some of the cultures and the customs that she had to adjust to. And the second is her experiences as a woman in finance. And I know that I get a lot of emails from you guys in terms of how to break into the U.S. For a finance role. And, you know, for my female listeners, they want to hear a perspective of what it's like to be a woman in finance and maybe some of the challenges that Valerie has faced and how she overcame them. So today's episode is going to focus a little bit more on the international segment, and next week's episode is going to be focused a little bit more on Valerie's experiences as a woman in finance. As always, if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to email me at Alan, A-L-A-N, at thevampiresquid.com, and you can always visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. And the first 9 minutes or so are more of Valerie's background, and then we dive a little bit deeper into her experiences coming from Panama into the U.S. and some of the tips she has. So without further ado, I hope you all enjoy, and here you go. So welcome to The Vampire Squid. I have on a very special guest with me today, Valerie Wong. Valerie, thanks so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Alan. It's my honor.
Great. So Valerie, would you mind giving a quick background on, you know, where you grew up and, you know, how you got to where you are currently? Because I know you, with our previous discussions, you have probably one of the most interesting backgrounds that I've heard. And I'm sure that my listeners would love to hear that as well.
Absolutely. Yes. I was born and raised in Panama City, Panama. My mom was born in Macau and migrated to Panama when she was a kid. She was a full-time mom, and she always made sure that I was top of my class, even when I was in first grade. And she was very active in school and made sure that my teachers knew me. So she definitely gave me a good start in life. And she passed away when I started second grade of elementary school. And my dad, my sister, my brother, both older than me, and I then lived with my grandma from my dad's side. And something that she always told me was to be proud of my Chinese heritage as a Chinese immigrant family living in Panama. And something very important is that she planted a seed in my head. And she always told me that if I studied hard, then I could go to college in the U.S. and as many of my uncles did. And my dad worked really hard, and he had a family business. And he paid for my private schooling as well as for my brothers and my sisters. And he always told me that education was the best inheritance. He also had a lot of support from family and friends. And my dad honestly is very hands-off. So not a helicopter dad at all. But something very important that he always told me was that my achievements, my accomplishments were mine, not his. And that was something that was really important for me because he trusted me and also my judgment. And therefore I was a very good kid and a student, very good student as well. And when I was in senior year of high school, my dad lost his business. He just couldn't compete with big chain stores. So it was clear to me at that point that if I wanted to go to college in the U.S., I needed a scholarship. So I studied hard and I got involved in several extracurricular activities. For instance, I was president of my class and I graduated with honors. And then I looked for scholarships. And the best scholarship that I found was from the Walton International Scholarship Program.
Walton, the sponsors of Walmart, right?
That's right, from the family from Walmart. And so I applied for that scholarship, and thankfully I got it. I was very blessed by having this scholarship because they paid for everything, for room and board, for tuition, even a plane ticket every summer back to Panama. So in college, I studied international business and accounting, and the name of the university is John Brown University, and it's located in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And I also was very fortunate to meet my now husband there. We met freshman year of college. The only condition of the scholarship was that I needed to go back to Panama or another country in Central America or Mexico for 4 years after college. So that's what I did after I graduated. I honor that commitment, and I graduated with honors in 2008, and I went to Panama and I worked there and at KPMG, and I also work at HSBC, and until I was also fortunate enough and that I got a scholarship to study my master's in finance at Tec de Monterrey in Monterrey, Mexico. And while I was there, I did an internship at MSCI, and then I was hired full-time as part of the index client service team. And over there, I worked my way up from analyst to specialist covering West Coast asset managers. So my clients were based in San Francisco and in LA. And so in October of 2012, I was transferred to the MSCI San Francisco office to be closer to my clients. And here I am now living in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Gotcha. Thank you for the thorough background. What was the initial interest in studying accounting for your college major?
Yeah, I have reflected a lot on that, and I think that it all happened because my mom studied accounting, and she worked at a bank until she decided to be a full-time mom when my sister was born. And growing up, I was constantly reminded by many of my mom's friends, as well as family members, that I was very much like my mom. And I think that at an unconscious level, for some reason, I wanted to study accounting as well. It initially, when I actually applied for the scholarship and went to the university, I was studying actually first international business. But I had always been good at numbers, and I wanted to have a little bit more of that knowledge. So I double major in accounting and international business.
Gotcha. And yeah, interesting. So my mom also did accounting too. So I definitely took a decent amount of accounting courses in finance. But yeah, I think that, you know, your parents and siblings, so my sister, she worked in finance and consulting for a little bit, and which is what got me interested, you know, when I started college. So I think definitely people in your family play a big role in terms of sort of shaping your initial interests in the academic fields or your career paths for sure.
Absolutely. I agree.
Great. And so now you've been at MSCI for quite some time. So for my listeners who don't know what MSCI does, would you mind giving a quick background of, you know, the core products and what you focus on?
Absolutely. Yes. MSCI is a leading provider of investment solutions such as indexes that are used as benchmarks for mutual funds and also for the creation of ETF, exchange traded funds. And MSCI also develops software such as BarraOne that is used for analyzing portfolio risk and return. And in terms of my role, I am a senior associate and part of the index client coverage team. And my role is to help clients understand the index methodologies, and I am their trusted advisor. That means that I manage client relationships, and this is from a client service perspective with asset managers on the West Coast.
Got it. And I think I remember hearing that, you know, some of the major competitors are, is it like the Dow Jones and the S&P?
And that's absolutely right. So our major competitors are FTSE Russell and S&P Dow Jones.
Yeah. And I actually did an episode on, you know, some of the differences between, each of the indices, but what would you say is the major difference between MSCI versus its competitors?
The major difference is what we have in terms of our quality of information, of research that we provide, is something that our clients always tell us. that is so helpful to hear from a third party like MSCI and what's going on in the market, and also the view that we have of the world, because we have international indexes. And for instance, Standard & Poor's is very well known for their domestic indexes, especially S&P 500. Mm-hmm. But MSCI is known for the international indexes that we have, such as MSCI EAFE. And so I would say that's one of the major differences.
Gotcha. So a little bit more international focus rather than domestic. Got it. Great. That's helpful. So one of the major topics, or I guess a couple of the major topics that I wanted to cover on today's episode was, you know, I get constant emails from my listeners about what it's like being an international student trying to break into the U.S., into a finance role. And I also get, you know, emails from my listeners who are female, who would like to hear a perspective from a female working in finance and being successful in finance. And I think that you obviously can cover both those very well. So, you know, maybe we could start on the international subject. What would you say is some of the key drivers that allowed you to come to the U.S. coming from Panama, and what was some of the major desires even to come to the U.S. Initially?
Yeah, so I would say that the major desires definitely was the example that I had from uncles, so my dad's brothers who study in the US. And I wanted to follow that example because I've seen how successful they are in their careers. So I had that desire, hearing from my grandma, and who told me that if I study hard, I could have that opportunity as well. And in terms of the drivers, I would say that first of all is having that desire, that fire, and that ambition, and working hard, having good grades, but also having extracurricular activities, like I in terms of being president of your class, and all of that is helpful because more rounded individual. That is one of the things that I think was key for me, and that helped me to get a scholarship. And by having a scholarship, then it's easier. I would not have been able to study in the US without a scholarship.
Gotcha. So for some of my listeners, they may be in college in, you know, a different country, or they may be their, you know, first job in a different country. How would you position it for them to try to navigate into the United States? I know that you worked for a global firm, MSCI. So, the transfer was sort of done, I would assume internally with the firm, and there might be some other processes in place, but you know, what are some of the routes that you commonly see for international students coming into the US, and do you have any advice for them in terms of coming to the US?
Right. And yes, in my case, it was through my company. So I was an internal transfer. I got transferred from the Monterrey, Mexico office to the MSCI San Francisco office. And other ways that I've seen are people who are studying in the U.S. and then when they graduate, they have 1 year to find a job in the U.S. And if they do, then usually the companies will sponsor visas that would allow them to work here. And other ways are for people who, especially in areas like technology and finance, and where there are opportunities here in the US, and there are those job openings, they are hiring international people as well.
Mm-hmm. Your husband was, he was an engineer, right? So it was fairly easy for him to sort of transfer into the US. Is that correct?
Yes, that's a very good example as well. My husband, was born and raised in Guatemala. And he had the same scholarship that I have. And it was really easy for him to find a job in Silicon Valley as a software engineer. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of jobs that I'm talking about in technology, where there are job openings and there is a need for people to fill those job openings.
And do you see a similar need like that for finance roles as well? Or a little bit less, I would assume, than the technology probably?
I see those as well in finance, to be honest.
Oh, that's good.
And here, especially here in San Francisco, and there are companies who are trying to increase the amount of diversity that they have in their roles,
mm-hmm.
like get more women and more minorities in asset management.
You know, so having been in San Francisco for the last few years, how would you compare to how it was in Panama or in Mexico City? Do you see San Francisco as a long-term plan? Do you have plans to move back? Because I'm sure with a lot of my listeners who are international, they probably think of, you know, the U.S. as this holy grail of, you know, job opportunities. But, you know, since you've been here and had other experiences, do you see that is consistent with how your experience is, or do you have plans to eventually go back as well?
Honestly, I do not have plans to go back to Panama at this point. I am pretty happy here in the Bay Area. We do need to pay a premium for for living here in the Bay Area.
Course.
It's not cheap at all. But I like the lifestyle that we have here in the Bay Area, the sunshine, so beautiful weather, the opportunities, the diversity. And the people and are very tolerant, and I do like living here.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, especially over the last couple of months in New York winter, I'm kicking myself for leaving San Francisco. but the weather is getting better now here. So in terms of your experience at MSCI and your coverage, you know, could you provide any further details on, you know, some of the more challenging times that you may have faced while working, you know, coming from Panama and maybe adapting to U.S. customs or customs in San Francisco? Were there any difficulties adjusting, or, you know, what was your experience like being international?
Being international at first, it wasn't completely difficult for me. I wouldn't say that I had many issues adapting. It was a little bit difficult in terms of as a woman and as a Latina, but and also as an Asian, to adapt to some things that are usually perceived as, I would say, the traits that you can see in Caucasian males, and usually people who are more aggressive and who self-promote and are the ones who have a better chance to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that as a Latina, I was not doing that for myself. I was a little bit more on the shy side and sitting at the table, but not really speaking much during meetings. And that was one of the feedback that I was given, is that if I wanted to be successful, I needed to self-promote. I needed to do a little bit more of probing, asking more questions, even interrupting more during meetings. And as an Asian, you are raised in a way that where you respect your elders. And so that was not something that was natural to me at all. And the same thing with self-promoting. It was not something that came natural to me either, because as a Latina, I was raised to be humble, not to boast about my abilities. So that was another thing that I had to think about, how I could change that, but at the same time, be true to myself and to my values and to my personality. And so the way that I found, I would say, my own voice was by getting more involved in organizations outside of my company, and organizations such as Women in ETFs and Latinos in Finance, that allowed me the opportunity to lead and organize events, as well as to be part of a network of people, of women and of Latinos and Latinas, and learned about what are the biases and what are the things that I should be doing more, and things such as finding mentors and sponsors, and finding ways to support each other. So I started to learn more about those things, and that helped me find my own voice and confidence as well. And now I'm the president of Latinos in Finance. And so I think that definitely helped me to get here where I am today.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, having some of the support groups or having people to talk to, who are facing similar issues to the ones that you're facing is probably a great thing to do. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, in addition to being able to share your experiences, you can also share solutions and, you know, things that you do to improve, you know, the reputation in the workplace. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, being Asian, obviously it hits home for me, because it's very, respect your elders, you know, don't really talk back. But in the workplace, I found it very surprising because, some of my colleagues would talk back to, you know, the higher ups in the firm. That wasn't something that was very customary to how I was raised as well. But, I started realizing it wasn't perceived negatively either, you know, and sometimes the people that are higher up actually enjoy that because they like to be challenged a little bit. They like to make sure that you have a voice. But I think that obviously being in the US, that's one cultural norm here, but if you did that in, say, China or Japan, that would be frowned upon and that would be very negative. So,
exactly.
It's definitely something that takes adjusting to, but I think that your solution that you found in terms of finding support groups and is a great solution. Can you talk a little bit more about Latinos in Finance and, you know, how you became the president? And yeah, I mentioned this to you earlier, but when we spoke earlier, but you know, I was a little bit surprised to obviously see your name, Valerie Wong, and, you know, assume that you're Chinese, but you're also the president of Latinos in Finance. I would love to hear a little bit more about your experience there.
Absolutely. So about Latinos in Finance, and it started in 2008 here in the Bay Area as a common effort to unite Latinos and Latinas working in the financial services industry. And now today the organization has over 1,000 Latinos, Latinas and supporters, and mainly here in the Bay Area, but also in major cities across the U.S. And what we do is that we organize an event with four key goals. So one is related to education, and then second is career development. Third is providing networking opportunities. And finally, fourth is to giving back community service.
That's awesome. And you just recently became president as of this last year, is that correct?
Yes, as of last year. And how I became president. So my client, and Kenny Blanco, actually, he was the president of Latinos in Finance, and he invited me to join. And then he asked me if I could plan events for Latinas in Finance, the women's focus group. And I was in a mode of saying yes to opportunities, and which is my motto now in life. And so I said yes, and I had already planned an event for women in ETFs here, and it was very successful. And so that's how I got involved. Then I became chair of the Latinas in Finance group. And after that, I became vice president. And then Kenny decided to leave his job to pursue his MBA, Chicago Booth. And so he asked me if I wanted to be president. And then I was chosen by the board. We voted and that's how I became president. So it's about finding those opportunities, but also saying yes whenever they come along.
Congrats. I think that's awesome. And I think that's awesome of the organization to elect you as president to, you know, show, you know, you don't have to necessarily be of, you know, Latino ethnicity to be president. You can also, you know, have been born there and have experiences there. And I think that's really cool. So that concludes part one of the interview with Valerie Wong. And please stay tuned for next week, where Valerie talks a little bit more about her experiences as a woman in finance. See you guys next week and talk to you guys soon. Ciao.